What's happening, everyone? This is the Celtics Talk Podcast. I'm Kyle Draper, joined by A. Sherrod Blakely. Sherrod, it's supposed to be the offseason, dude. We're supposed to be chilling, relaxing, planning family vacations.
Operative word, supposed to be.
Supposed to be, right? All right, we are coming to you from the Cumberland Farms Lounge at our NBC Sports Boston studios. Cumberland Farms coffee, just 99 cents any size. That's 99 good reasons to switch. We got a really great show coming up for you today. In just a few minutes, we'll be joined by Jabari Young. He's the Spurs beat writer for the San Antonio Express News. Well connected on all this Kawhi Leonard situation. He has some interesting comments about Kawhi and potentially coming to Boston. But, Sherrod, here we are. Free agency is about to begin. And I know everybody's waiting to hear about LeBron, but Kawhi, for the people of Boston, that's what we're focused on. Just give me your thoughts.
Well, I mean, it's great that the Celtics are once again in position to land one of the best players who is available. And unlike the past couple years, they didn't exactly plan on being in the mix for this. I mean, remember, you know, a couple years ago, they were planning to make a run at Al Horford. They were planning to make a run at Gordon Hayward. Kawhi Leonard is kind of like the Kyrie Irving situation. It just kind of landed in their lap. And so they find themselves very much deep in the mix for him. But the one thing that has changed is the impact of this roster as it stands. They can stand pat and let Kawhi go wherever the hell he wants to go, and they'd still be a top three, top four team in the NBA. You make a deal for him, let's say you have to empty your bench to get him, which to me would be an ultimate hustle in Danny Ainge's part if all it cost him was bench players. You're still top three. You might move up a spot. And so then at that point, you have to ask yourself, is it really worth it to invest in a guy who you may not even be able to re-sign a year from now? So there are a lot of questions. And the other thing about, you know, Kawhi's status is that, you know, when just talking with people throughout the league in the past couple of weeks and more so the last day or so, there is a growing sentiment that San Antonio is going to slow walk this process. And when I use the term slow walk, I'm talking about they're not pressed nearly as much as what I understand as the media reports might indicate to get him traded. They are not going to settle for anything that they don't believe is quality return for Kawhi. And when you're talking about a top five player in the NBA, quality return likely includes one all-star, one up-and-comer, and a really good draft pick. And when you look at the teams that San Antonio has talked to, Boston and Philadelphia are the only teams that really, when you look at that criteria, that meet what the San Antonio Spurs are looking for. But the problem and the complication with that...
The complication
with that is that Kawhi is going into the last year of his deal. And he is not going to commit. And I've been told this. He will not commit to anyone unless it's the Lakers. That's the only team that is going to get.
Well, then to me, it sounds like the Celtics are out. Like, you know, because if you're Danny Ainge, you're not giving up anything for a one-year rental.
But here's the thing. It's the same situation that Indiana had with Paul George when he said, I just want to play for the Lakers. And they said, screw that. We're going to send you somewhere else. But the team that absorbs a player like that, you have to be careful about the assets that you give up. And that is for the Boston Celtics. The reason why San Antonio is so enticed by Boston is because they've got multiple levels of everything you want. Yes. Like, if you want an all-star, they got three of those. You want young, up-and-coming, promising talent on a rookie contract, they got two or three of those. Yeah. You want high draft picks? Hell, they got four picks coming next. So it's like the Celtics, even to me, it's like window shopping, and you go to, like, the one place you look at your pockets, you can afford everything in there. It's just a matter, do they want to sell to you?
And how much do you want to give up?
And that, to me, that's the thing about Danny Ainge, why I think that they are going to certainly continue to probe this until the Kawhi situation is resolved. But I don't think they're going to get a deal done because, again, the Celtics have all the assets to get a deal done. But unless they get a commitment from Kawhi, which they're not going to get.
Right.
There isn't a whole lot of incentive for them to do a deal.
And I don't know.
And one last point before you jump in. And it doesn't move the needle to you being significantly better than you are right now.
You took my point, big fella. Emptied the clip.
My bad.
If you give up so many assets and just add back Kawhi, does that make you a better team? Does that make you in a better position to beat Golden State? I don't think so. That's why I feel like you have to keep Kyrie. And you got to keep Tatum.
I still think that at the end of the day, the more I think about this, the more I look at the pros and cons of this deal, the less sense it makes to me to do the deal.
Right.
because I don't think that you're going to win a title if you make this trade.
But and another thing. Too,
jump
Sharad.
In, Sorry, jump
I gotta cut
jump
you
in,
off.
Because it's your turn.
I gotta get my words out too. I get paid right per there. Word. But no, if you're the Celtics, if you're Danny Ainge, you're not giving up known contracts.
Right.
You know, known cost contracts like Jalen or Jason or Terry or whoever for two guys, Kyrie, who knows if you'll re-sign him,
right.
Or Kawhi. Can you imagine if both those guys decide, nah, they don't want to re-sign in Boston? Your cupboard is left bare. So I don't think the risk outweighs the reward for the Celtics for this deal.
Yeah, I mean, and that's why it's a lot easier for Boston to get a deal done now than a year or two ago when they had a lot of these same assets. But the only difference was instead of having, you know, that Brooklyn pick that may be in a lottery, you got Jason Tatum instead.
Yeah.
Instead of, you know, that other pick, You got Jaylen Brown. So now all of a sudden you actually have warm bodies who aren't just out there running up and down the floor like James Young did 8-9 games in his career. You got guys out there who are stepping on the floor, making a difference, showing the ability to impact the game at an early age. And the one thing, and we talked to Austin Ainge a few weeks ago about this, having guys on rookie contracts who can make an impact,
right.
Balancing that with big money makers like the Kyrie Irvings, the Gordon Haywards of the world, that is how you build a championship. That is how you are able to compete with the elite teams in the NBA. And when you start taking pieces of that away, you start stripping that away to add one big chunk that doesn't necessarily move you quantum leaps ahead of where you are right now, you gotta hit the pause button and seriously think about that before you make that move.
All right, let's get on the phone a guy who has dealt with Kawhi Leonard over, you know, pretty much all of his career down there in San Antonio, at least most of his career down there in San Antonio. Our guy, Jabari Young.
Where are you from, Drapes?
Philadelphia native. He writes for the San Antonio Express News. Let's get Jabari on the Celtics Talk podcast. All right, Jabari, we got you on the line, man. Everybody talking about Kawhi Leonard and everything. What can you tell us? What's the latest out there in San Antonio?
I mean, the latest is every single day it looks like he's not going to be a Spur. And I think those days are probably over. You know what I mean? It's just the point now is, or the question is where is he going to go? And obviously, there's a whole bunch of teams out there that wants Kawhi Leonard, obviously. But you got to be careful. You got to make sure that just because you want him, he wants you. And if he doesn't want you, then I don't necessarily know if you're going to give up too much to get him. And so I don't even know if you should even make those phone calls. Because if you trade too much for him and he doesn't sign back with you, then that's grounds of getting you fired. Because Spurs ain't taking nothing except for a good package. It ain't none of that Paul George stuff. It ain't none of that, oh, local Paul with the Pacers got for Paul. Nah, Pacers in a Thunder were in a different circumstance. This is Kawhi Leonard here, okay? This is different. So, you know, Pacers, Paul George ain't got no NBA Finals MVP. Kawhi Leonard does. Paul George never won Defensive Player of the Year. Kawhi Leonard won it twice, all NBA team, okay? Paul George, I never seen him hit a big shot and go back and block James Harden's shot. I know the man is a baller. He's a good player, okay, a great player at that. And I know he's a good defensive guy, one of the best two-way players in the league. But with all due respect, he ain't the best two-way player in the league when Kawhi Leonard is healthy. I'm going to get that title to him. But like I said, with that said, his days in San Antonio are pretty much over. You know what I mean? Unless a miracle happens and Popovich can convince him somehow, his days are pretty much over. And now it's just a question of, like I said before, where he goes.
From afar, Jabari, it seems that, you know, I mean, Pops, and give Pops, you know, his props for what he's able to do in terms of just kind of bridging, you know, some bridges that may be a little hot to the touch. I mean, like with LaMarcus Aldridge, he was able to smooth that over. Yeah. How different is this situation? I mean, from afar, it looks like what's happening with Kawhi is so much worse than the situation with LaMarcus before.
Yeah, man, I would agree with that. I mean, this is a situation that, you know, I mean, you clearly have a player who doesn't feel like he's not, you know, obviously we can go back and forth and talk about how he feels maybe the team didn't have his back when he was injured. You know, maybe, you know, the comments from Greg Popovich, you know, got to ask Kawhi, his group, you know, Tony Parker coming out and said what he said, and all I see it every single time. I think Tony's comments were being taken out of context because the original question was, is what advice would you give Kawhi? And Tony initially answered, be patient. And he said, you know, my injury was 100 times worse. And basically what he's saying, listen, I had a worse injury, but I was patient. I'm going to tell him to do the same thing. But in these days, people take one thing you say and make it into a headline. So You know, but at that same time, Tony has to know, hey, you can't say stuff like that. Not in today's society, because everybody, you know, looks at things so differently instead of what they are. So, you know, you can go back and look at all of that and say, okay, you didn't have his back. But stuff like that, you will hope that gets smoothed over with enough apologies. But I think it is deeper than that, man. I don't think Kawhi just is that. And I don't think he's having fun anymore down here, man. You know, and I think is, you know, when people mention San Antonio, you know, obviously they're a great organization known for winning, got 5 NBA championships. Greg Popovich made the playoffs pretty much every year that he's been on that sideline, right? So, you know, everybody's going to automatically look at them and say, how can you not say this isn't fun? You're winning. Yeah, but you're winning, but how much fun are you having? You know what I mean? You can win, but not have as much fun. You know what I mean? But everybody says winning cures all. Well, if that's the case, well, the Spurs ain't, you know, they haven't won too much as of late. You know, they've won, got to the Western Conference Finals, but they haven't got to the NBA Finals since 2014. And although that's still no time from where other franchises are, they're in serious droughts. The Spurs just won one in 2014. They're talking about some, oh, we haven't won in a while. Nah, but what I'm saying is that, you know, I don't necessarily know if guys have this much fun being and playing down here. Popovich is a different cat, man. He's a great coach, but he expects and he wants, you know, you to be accountable, and which is fair. He wants you to make sure that you're understand attention to detail, which is fair. But when a guy goes a dunk or guys trash talking or part of the game, you know, that's frowned upon down here. You know what I'm saying? And I think a lot of guys may feel like they're, and I know for a fact a lot of guys feel like, hey, when we go down there, we're coming to win. But they also feel like, hey, I can't be myself. You know, I can't say what I want to say. You look at Golden State, right? Draymond, Kevin Durant, those guys, they can come out and say what they want. You know, I even up in Boston, it's probably the same way. I don't think, you know, Brad Stevens is that type coach. But, you know, it's a difference down here in San Antonio. I notice it. I see players notice it. Players have told me, remain nameless, but they've told me they notice it. And, you know, they deal with it because they're winning. Well, Kawhi Leonard now is a 26-year-old in his prime, understands the landscape of the NBA, has won with the Spurs, won a championship, helped him win a championship. And now he's saying, you know what? I just don't want to be here anymore. And that's fair. That's his career. He gets to do what he does. Right. But ever since Tim Duncan left, man, it's a different type of vibe. It's a different type of culture. And I think the Spurs have to sit back and look at it and say, okay, this is two straight summers now that we had our star player. One time in LaMarcus Aldridge for basketball stuff, and the other one in Kawhi Leonard. Now wanting out.
Right.
You got to maybe look at yourself in the mirror and say, okay, are we doing anything wrong? Because LaMarcus clearly said he wasn't having fun last year because of the way he was used. Kawhi Leonard, obviously, he's behind the scenes stuff and not having as much fun. So I think now it's time for them to look in the mirror and figure out if they're doing something wrong and not look at the last 20 years and say, well, we've been doing it this way for 20 years. It's right. Nah, you got to change with the times. And now may be the time that you have to change.
Well, here's the thing about that, though. And again, you're around Kawhi, obviously, more than we are. But how the hell do you know if he's having fun? I mean, that dude is, I mean, he plays like a highly efficient robot. I mean, he'll pin your stuff on a glass, no emotion. He'll dunk on you, no emotion. Pick LeBron pocket, still. You don't see any type of facial or any demonstrative actions that let you believe that he is having fun. So I mean, how do you know if he's having fun or not?
Yeah, but Sherrod, is that to say that he's not, because you don't see that, you know, maybe he knows that that's frowned upon down here. Mm. You know what I mean? Yeah. Maybe he's seen enough and said, you know, I can't even be my true self because I know it might be looked upon differently down here. And
so
remember,
you're about
something,
to go wild on the West Coast, huh? Know, okay. Right? Okay.
I don't think he's going to go wild, but I mean, listen, he is at home.
Right.
And it's, you know, I mean, I'm sure Luke Walton ain't that type of disciplinarian where, you know, you expect that. I mean, you just look around the NBA, right? Mm-hmm. And you see how, you know, certain curses are. You know, you have to have that type of vibe. You have to have that type of culture. You know what I mean? I look at a guy like Steve Kerr. Steve Kerr's been in San Antonio. He knows the way Greg Popovich coach. He's not doing it that way. He might be doing it like X's and O's, but he's not doing it that way as far as being a disciplinarian. You know what I mean? And I remember I was talking to David West about that. And David wasn't throwing shots. He just was like, yo, it's a difference. Steve was a little bit more lay back and let you be yourself. With Popovich, he made a hand gesture, like, you know, a little stern, you know what I mean? Right. And so that, you know, you're talking about David West. You know, David West ain't no, he's just an easygoing guy. But yeah, it just goes to show you that sometimes everybody can't handle that military type style, you know, at a culture in a way. And I'm not saying that that's exactly what it is, but everybody can't handle that. Everybody can't handle if they make a mistake getting yelled at on national TV, no matter who you are. As I wrote before, it takes a special player, and players have said this. Everybody can't play for Greg Popovich. People around the league said it's one thing to sit up here and you admire him. Chris Paul's admire him. Kevin Durant admire him.
Dame playing in San Antonio, already, you can admire him from afar, but you can look at it and say, man, I can't believe him. I can't. It's a long story a long time ago how Michael Jordan admired Pat Riley, his style of coaching, but he's told people behind the scenes, I could never play for Pat Riley. That man wants you to practice for 2.5 hours. Hell no. You know what I mean? So you can admire somebody from afar, and I think a lot of people, rightfully so, admire Greg Popovich, but it's a different cat. It takes a different type of cat to play for him, and that's easier said than done. And this is on record. Everybody can't play for Greg Popovich, and I think – you know, Kawhi, who I think has a tremendous amount of respect for Greg Popovich, and I don't think he wouldn't want to play for him. It's at that point now where you're looking at a relationship and you say, you know what, I did some great things here, you know what I mean, but I just don't want to be here anymore. Shaq did it when he was in Orlando. He didn't want to be there. You know, he left for L.A. You know what I mean? LeBron did it the first time when he left to go to Cleveland and go to Miami. You know what I'm saying? So it happens. It happens. This is a landscape in the NBA where things just happen. Y'all might be going through it up in Boston soon with Kyrie Irving. Says, yeah, I like my 2 years here, but I think I want to go somewhere else. It is what it is. Players are controlling their own destination. They're controlling what they want to do. And the latest example is coming, you know, down here in San Antonio.
Let me ask you, Jabari, because, you know, listening to you and just hearing some of the reports out there, it's L.A. or bust for Kawhi Leonard. Eventually, he's going to, you know, be in L.A. No matter where he's traded, he's not re-signing unless it's in L.A. Do you believe that, or is he, you think, open to signing with other teams?
No. I think, obviously, they, you know, L.A. is his destination, but I think he is open to, and this is just what I believe and the vibe that I get. I seriously think that if Philly came with a competitive package and the Spurs would really be willing to take it, I think that there is a slight chance that Kawhi would come back and re-sign with Philly, even if it's a short-term thing. I think he would. I don't think he would re-sign back in Boston if they made that deal.
Whoa,
really?
I don't think he would re-sign back in Boston if they made that deal.
What leads you to believe that? I mean, you know Kawhi from dealing with him down there. Is it something that leads you to believe that?
Yes, and I wish I could tell everything, but I can't. But I can say that I don't think that he would resign back with the Boston Celtics. I mean, there's a lot of Eastern Conference teams, a lot of teams, period, that would want to trade for Kawhi Leonard, but they're fearful that if they give up too much and he doesn't resign, as I said before, that, you know, they're gonna look upon as like, we blew this, we gutted a half of our team, and now he's gone. I don't think Boston is that place for him. I don't, you know what I mean? Now, he might have to go there if they trade for him, but, you know, and who knows? Maybe Brad Stevens can talk him into it. I don't know, but I don't think as of right now that Boston would be on his teams of that resign. I do think Philly, because I think Philly is, in a way, a bigger market. Philly has that, you know, listen, he respects the hell out of Allen Iverson. He used to, you know, idolize him growing up. AI's in Philly, right? He'll definitely back him. And he has close ties with the Sixers. He played there. But like I said before, I think that New York is right up the street. And even though it's up the street from Boston, too, but it's closer to Philly. So you got those advertising dollars flowing through. New York is the Mecca. His uncle lives in Jersey. You know what I mean? For everybody thinking his uncle controlling the shots, which that's not true either. But his uncle is there in Jersey. Kawhi has spent summers in Jersey, okay, with his uncle. So he knows the area. So it ain't like he's a stranger to that area. And like I said, I think Philly would be more. If it came down to Boston and Philly, you know, which place would you pick for Kawhi to resign and which place you wouldn't? I would say Philly. And I'm not saying it because I'm from there. This is a totally unbiased thing. But at the same time, I don't think Boston would be that spot.
Let me ask you this, though. Let's play a hypothetical game real quick. Let's say the Celtics, you know, they send Kyrie and whatever to get the deal done. He comes to Boston. And in that 1 year, end of the season, you got the confetti raining down at the TD Garden because the Celtics just won a championship. Would that, in your opinion, be enough to keep him in Boston?
Well, you know, I can make that same argument to you. And if you truly believe that, I can make that same argument to you and say, okay, well, look, why won't the Spurs just play their hand and say, look, we're keeping you, you're going to play for us. And at the end of the year, when the confetti comes down in San Antonio, why would he say, you know, I'm going to just stay here. We're winning. You know what I'm saying? Right, like, right. Winning does help. But I'm not sure if it's, you know, if it's curing everything. You right. know what I mean? Like, at the same time, you know, if a guy wants to be where he is, it is what it is. You know, so I think that if that happens, yeah. But then you can say, okay, we can go to Philadelphia and win too. You know, we can go to L.A. and if we pair with the right people, we can win too. So, you know, if you're San Antonio and you believe that, you know, that's the case, and I'm holding on to him. But I don't think, like I said before, I just don't think Boston is that place that he wants to be. And I don't know what reasons that would be. Maybe they feel like, hey, it's just too damn cold up there. There ain't no better in Philly, but it's way colder than Boston.
Yeah, I was going to say, Philly ain't or, no, you know, ain't yeah, no you know, tropical you paradise. That,
well, yeah, or you have that other factor. Now, you know, we're keeping it real. It's a podcast. Like, you have that other factor up there where, you know, obviously the race thing comes in and you hear all these things about Boston. And I've never experienced that when I've been in Boston. You know, I've hung out with you guys and y'all get mad love up there.
Yeah,
and
we take care of you, man. Think about it.
You know what I mean? Like, y'all two black dudes, y'all get mad love up there. So I just don't know, but it ain't as appealing to, I think, you know, Kawhi and his reps that, you know, a place like Philly would be. Now, Philly is not, you know, the ultimate, but if you had to say, okay, if LA's out of the picture and you're looking at only East teams, and I think that he would re-sign in Philly over Boston. I don't think New York has enough. You know, I don't think they have enough pieces, and they're not willing to part with Kristaps Porzingis. So that's out of the equation. So I think it came down to those two teams. You know what I mean? And unless the Washington Wizards want to get in and toss in John Wall and maybe somebody else, I mean, maybe they're talking, but I don't think so. But I think the only two East teams that it would come down to would be Philly and Boston. Again, and I think Philly has that edge slightly. And also remember something, Brett Brown is there. Brett Brown has went a long way with Kawhi. Gordon Hayward came to Boston for what reason? He came to Boston because he wanted to change, but he also, in that letter, if you believe it, wrote that Brad Stevens had something to do with it. Right. Well, looking at the surface, Kawhi Leonard can then say, I'm returning here. I feel more comfortable here. Brett knows me. He's here. He was here when I first got into the league. And Brett will then also make sure that Kawhi is still featured enough. When you in Boston, and if I'm the Spurs, I don't know if I'm necessarily taking on Kyrie Irving, because you might be facing the same situation next summer where he wants out and you lose. If I'm Boston and Danny Eaves calls me, the conversation is short. And if I'm the Spurs and Danny Eaves calls me, the conversation goes like this. Tatum, Brown, pick. If not, Danny, I'll see you in the summer league, dude. You know, we're not talking.
Wow.
You know, I can't. I'm not just taking Jaylen Brown. Despite I think that brother has a lot of potential, but he hasn't gotten to that point of Kawhi Leonard yet. Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, those two combined, those two will equal what Kawhi Leonard may represent, you know, moving forward, too. This is a superstar player, dude. You know what I mean? MVP caliber player.
Top five player, so, no doubt.
That's what I'm saying, man. So it's going to take those two.
But eventually the Spurs got to do something, right? I mean, Kawhi, really, let's keep it real. Eventually he's going to get his wish. If he wants to go to L.A., Philly, wherever, eventually he's going to become a free agent. And so if you're the Spurs, let's say come February, trade deadline comes, and Kawhi's not going to re-sign with you, don't you have to move them? And so when does the Spurs, you know, when is their back against the wall, I guess?
You know, I think that it's not going to get to that point, Kyle. At this point, man, see the difference, I sat down and I looked at it a lot. I said the difference between the two of LaMarcus and Kawhi, one, we didn't know LaMarcus. I know he was unhappy, despite what people believe. But we didn't know that he wanted to be traded. We thought the Spurs were going to trade him, but we didn't know that he initiated those talks until, you know, after he almost signed an extension, you know, that training camp, we then knew what the situation was and they worked it out. You know what I mean? It took multiple meetings and multiple convos for him to feel comfortable. And like, look, we're not going to change you. We don't want you to be Tim Duncan. We don't want you to be this guy. We signed you to be LaMarcus Aldridge. Go be LaMarcus Aldridge. And what happens? LaMarcus Aldridge returns and makes an all-star game. LaMarcus Aldridge is putting up his numbers. You know what I mean? You're only going to go but so far just with LaMarcus Aldridge, but the man is a bona fide all-star. You know what I mean? We can't deny him that. He knows how to put the ball in the basket, especially on that left and right block. We can't deny him that. But again, the thing is that we didn't hear about those talks. Kawhi went public. That thing came out public, okay? Can you afford to or run the risk of bringing him back and have to face the fanfare, have to look guys looking you in the locker room saying you don't really want to be here anyway? You know what I mean? Why are we? What is that locker room then becomes? OK, we playing with a guy who really don't want to be here. You know what I mean? He wants out at the end of the year. We know he might bounce. So how is that dynamic going to carry over? You're being coached by a guy who you're being coached by a man who knows that he wants out. And even though you've returned, you know, what are you getting? And in a moment he goes out with an injury or he's out missing 2 weeks, you know what I mean? Everybody's questioning like, oh, there he goes again. He's pulling that thing. You run too much of a risk and it'll be a PR nightmare for that team. Imagine the questions is going to come. you know, Kawhi hasn't been around or he missed practice, anything to that. You don't want that around your team. You want to a new team. You want to start fresh. You want to have that chemistry, develop that chemistry. And I don't think with Kawhi moving forward, if it's not savable now and he doesn't sign that extension, if they offer it to him, then I think that you have to cut ties. The only way he comes back here next year, to me, is if that extension is agreed to and it's signed, because at least you're letting guys know, hey, look, I know I want it out, but I'm signing that extension and I'm here. Let's go. But if he's just coming back on a one-year deal, even if you trade him by the trade deadline, imagine what your team is going to be like then. You know what I'm saying? It's just not, to me, a good PR move for them. They know what he wants out. The best thing to do is to try to make a deal to make sure that that happens, unless something happens again dramatic where they talk, everything's cool, Kawhi comes out and says, you know, yeah, we had some disagreements, but I'm happy, I'm a Spur, that contract extension is signed, then you can start working on the healing process, you know what I mean, and from a public relations standpoint. But right now, I just don't think that, I just can't see that happening. It's too much.
Last question, because, you know, it seems like the Lakers are scrambling to put together a package. When you talk about the Boston package, Jalen and Jason, you know, those are two, you know, some would say, argue, future all-stars. Can the Lakers rival a package or put together a package the Spurs would actually want?
Convo is going similar to if Danny Ainge calls me. Matter of fact, I might put Danny Ainge and Magic Johnson on the three-way and say, look, y'all can call all you want, okay? Danny, this is for you. Either we get Jalen and Tatum and maybe a pick. Otherwise, don't call me back. Magic, I hear you over there giggling, okay? No, we don't care about you offering free wine for life to Pop. We don't care about that, okay? We want Kyle Kuzma. We want Brandon Ingram. We want a pick. If y'all want to do a sign and trade with Julius Randle, we'll look at that too. But those two dudes have to be on the table. No, Magic, I'm talking. No, we don't want Lonzo Ball. You keep him. We don't want him, okay? Magic, you're being disruptive again, okay? We told you what we want. Call us back. Click. That's the end of the conversation.
Wow.
You know what I mean? That's what I think they should want. Anything less, don't talk to me. This is Kawhi Leonard. This ain't no scrub. Okay? With that man, if he can, and I think he will, get back to that 2015-16 level of Kawhi Leonard, we saw what he did. We saw what he could do. This dude ain't no slouch. I'm not giving him up unless I'm getting major assets in return that I can then build around, and I can then see Kawhi Leonard 6-7 years down the road and say, hey, we're here. You know what I'm saying? Like, No, don't talk. I'm not taking just Brandon Ingram in a draft pick. I'm not taking just Jaylen Brown in a draft pick. I'm not taking just Jason Tatum in a draft pick, although that might, you know, the conversation can go forward from there. But I need both of those players on both teams if I want to make anything happen. I think if the Spurs do anything under that, when you're dealing with Boston or L.A., I think they'll be doing themselves a disservice. That's just me.
Wow. Jabari Young, keeping it real here on the Celtics Talk podcast. Jabari of the San Antonio Express News. Make sure you follow him on Twitter. Jabari J. Young is his Twitter handle. Thanks for coming on, my man.
Appreciate you, Jabari.
All right, man. Y'all take care.
All right,
I'll talk to y'all. Thanks for having me.
All right, now.
Talk to you soon.
Shout out once again to Jabari Young coming on the Celtics Talk podcast. Keeping it real.
The part that jumps out to me, and it's going to resonate, I think, and it's going to marinate on my mind for a bit and resonate, I think, with the audience, is the part about not believing that he would re-sign with Boston if he came here. Wow. I thought that was interesting because, you know, Danny Ainge, and we've seen this, guys come here, they fall in love with Boston. Mm-hmm. They don't want to leave as long as the money's right, which if they're good enough, Danny and ownership, they have not been stingy about that. When a player makes an impact and can help them win, you know, bring home a championship. I thought that was really interesting because Kawhi, it strikes me as though winning, while it's still important, there are other things that he cares about at this point in his career that might sway him to go in a direction that may not necessarily make the most basketball sense,
right?
But I think it will make sense to him.
Yeah, and it just sounds like, you know what, if he's not going to resign, then conversation over, as far as I'm concerned, if I'm Danny Ainge.
And the little three-way Jabari had with Danny Ainge and Magic Johnson.
That was pretty damn good. What about the Celtics free agents out there, Marcus Smart and Aaron Baines? Honestly think Baines comes back. You buying that?
I do.
Get that feeling?
I do. And the fact that, you know, the Celtics, you know, are part of an award show that shows the accomplishment that they have as a team, and the person they pick for that is going to be a free agent. You don't do that. That's where Jason Tatum is supposed to. And Jason Tatum was there, but he wasn't the guy chosen for that role.
Right.
I think Baines and the Celtics have an understanding that they're going to get a deal done when the time comes. He's made it clear he wants to be here. They've made it clear they want him here. You look at the growth that they had from last season to this past season, and it's clear that Baines' defense was instrumental in this team being as good as they were.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think he's a key factor, and he developed his outside game. But what about Marcus Smart? Because that's the one that's a little dicey. We talked about it on Celtics Post Up on Thursday night. But you and I both think he comes back to Boston, but not on a multi-year deal. Huh?
I think Marcus is going to wind up just taking that qualifying offer and becoming an unrestricted free agent next summer. And the reason why is because I don't think he's going to get the kind of money from Boston or any other team that he's looking for. I think the market, I think, is going to start to dry up. I think you're going to start seeing guys like Aaron Gordon, for example, is going to, you know, I think he'll wind up getting a deal, whether it's, you know, stay in Orlando or elsewhere, where teams are going to start coveting guys, I think, a little bit more than Marcus. Because he, to me, when you talk about the top free agents, Marcus is in that queue. But because of his restricted free agent status, that's going to take away some teams that might be interested. And there are already fewer teams in the mix to begin with. Indiana is a team that I think would be, if he were to leave Boston, I think they'd be a great fit.
Yeah.
But I think that Indiana has Marcus not at the near the top, but not at the top of their list. So some guys are going to have to just, I think, fall off their list before they'll come after Marcus. And even then, Marcus may not necessarily like what they want to offer him. So for him, I think he's going to have to he's really going to have to bet on himself and come back, take the qualifying offer and come back and have a great season. Otherwise, he can take a multi-year deal from the Celtics that'll be less than his market value, and he'll be locked in for multiple years, which as much as I think he would like, for example, if let's say they said, we're going to give you, 4 years, $28 million. Now, $28 million is a lot of money. But when you think about that, you're probably worth closer to low-end 40, high-end maybe 55, 60.
Right.
That $28 million doesn't look so good. So I think Marcus, he's going to have some really long, hard decisions to make this offseason as far as what he wants to do financially, because there's no question the Celtics are interested, but I don't think that they are going to go significantly high to get him because they don't have to. The competition, I just don't think, is as competitive for Marcus as we get closer to this free agency.
And I wonder, too, does Marcus really want to be a sixth man? And I think he wants the chance to start in this league and to get paid too.
Right.
And I don't think either of those things is going to happen in Boston.
Right. Because I think people, because there's so much time has passed, they forget that Marcus was starting, got hurt.
Right.
Isaiah Thomas got an opportunity to ran with it and just never looked back.
Yeah.
And so Marcus, as much as he enjoys the fact that he's playing starter-like minutes, he's playing high 20s, low 30s, he wants to be that guy whose name is called when they introduce the stars. He wants to be that guy that's leaned upon as one of the five guys from the beginning of the game as well as at the end.
Yep. All right, let's get out of here, man. A great episode of the Celtics Talk podcast. Who knows? Maybe next week we're talking about some free agent signings, Kawhi Leonard trade, where LeBron is going as well. We will talk all about that on the next episode of the Celtics Talk podcast. Make sure you subscribe on all your favorite podcasting apps. You can also subscribe to Anything is Potable, our podcast on the 2008 Celtics. It's coming up this summer. It's going to be great. We got Scal, some of the great interviews done by our staff with members of that 08 Celtics team. For Asia Rod Blakely, I'm Kyle Draper. We'll see you next time on the Celtics Talk podcast.
We're out!